people think I'm damaged goods.
I'm worried about losing my job.
Will I ever get a transplant?
I want to see my children graduate from college.
How can I afford this?
I don't want to be a burden.
I'm afraid.
I'm overwhelmed with information.
Sometimes I wonder if I'll ever fall in love and get married.
I just want to play with my friends.
You're listening to Kidney Talk, streaming health, happiness, and hope to the renal community with your hosts, Lori Hartwell and Stephen First.
And welcome to Kidney Talk. We have something interesting today that we don't usually have. We have a PD patient. We usually have all hemo patients.
Well, I think because only 10% of the population is on peritoneal dialysis.
Really?
Yes. More people are on hemodialysis
than
peritoneal.
But when they take polls and everything, the political polls, they say a margin of error of 3% either way. So you're safe.
Well, okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad that I said something right.
Finally.
Well, I was on PD for 9 years, and I preferred PD over hemodialysis. I actually was the first child to ever go on PD in California.
Really?
Yes. It was pretty primitive, too, let me tell you.
Wow.
Yeah, they didn't have any of the sophisticated equipment that they have now. And
well, didn't you tell me that you used to do your exchanges in the car while you were delivering flowers or something?
Oh, I used to take them camping. Oh, yeah, I delivered flowers. I take exchanges with me. I loved it because it allowed me to fit dialysis into my life instead of my life into dialysis. And that was so important. And, you know, and the other thing, and I want to hear from Sheree, who is our guest today, but I could actually drink more than when I was on hemo, which was a huge advantage for me.
And we know that's very important to you.
Yes, very important.
Right.
So when we come back, we're going to talk to Sheree Onabasa.
Excuse me?
Sheree Onabasa. Doesn't it sound like a song?
No, it sounds like a wonderful Italian pastry. Are you planning a patient or healthcare professional event? If so, you'll want PEP in your presentation.
No one understands a patient as well as another patient, and no patients are as understanding and qualified as the Renal Support Network's PEP speakers. PEP stands for Patients Educating Patients and Professionals, and they have been trained, tested, and certified to deliver consistently well-informed practical tips and tools, in addition to serving as inspiring examples of determination and hope.
Hope is important because without hope, we're stagnant. We just will not move ahead.
When I speak to professionals, usually the response to me is, wow, I can't believe you're a patient.
There's nothing more rewarding than being able to share some of my story with other people.
Helping us to understand what's important, what's going on, how better to provide optimal quality care, and I guess that's what it's all about, is just how to get better at doing what we do.
I could teach everybody else about what a difference it could make if they decided to get involved and just ask questions.
PEP speakers have so much information to give, so much knowledge to give, and so much experience.
If you are on dialysis, this is not it. This is not it. There's so much more. It's all about what you're willing and what you're open to.
RSN PEP speakers live in every region of the country and have lived with every stage of renal disease. They come from all walks of life, and yet they are all walking the same path.
If you are planning a patient or healthcare professional event, contact the Renal Support Network. Together, we can make a difference.
Love and happiness. Something's going wrong. Someone's on the phone. 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Talking about how she can make it right. Yeah.
And Sheree Onabasa. Welcome to Kidney Talk.
Sheree Onabasa.
Onabasa, Obasa. What's the difference? She doesn't care. Do you care?
Actually, I do.
Oh, no.
Set him straight, please.
Onabasa. And what is that a derivative of?
An O, a B, and an A.
I mean, where is it? What's its roots?
My husband is actually Nigerian.
Nigerian?
He comes from Edo State in Nigeria.
At where?
Edo State. in Nigeria.
Edo State?
That is his tribe.
Oh, I thought it was like a college, Edo State.
No.
The mighty warriors of Edo State.
Well, he may be a warrior, but here he's just my husband.
Oh, okay. And how did you meet him? Did you go to Africa? Did he come here?
Or? Actually, we met on the internet.
Oh, my gosh. Did he try to sell you something?
No, not at all.
A Nigerian.
Her husband is so handsome.
Really?
Yes.
As opposed to me? What are you insinuating?
I just said your husband's very handsome. I've met him.
Right. And does he have an accent? I love that accent.
He does. He has a very sexy voice. He should be a disc jockey.
Okay. Then we should
have you
on the
seen
show.
The movie Talk to Me?
Yes.
With Don Cheadle?
Mm-hmm. No.
He plays a disc jockey. It's a funny
great movie.
But that's besides the point. Anyways, you're on PD dialysis.
I am.
Neil.
You're one of the few people that I've met that is on PD.
So are you on the cycler or you do the exchanges every day?
I'm on the cycler.
The cycler. What is that? You have to ride on a bike or something?
Yeah, you cycle around.
What is that? What is the cycler?
Well, she's going to explain it.
The cycler is a machine that's approximately 18 inches long that I put my peritoneal dialysis solution on each night, and I sleep on the machine for about 8 hours a night.
You sleep on the machine?
Cute. No. I'm attached to the 18 inches.
Oh, machine. You said you sleep on the machine, because if I had to sleep on next stage, I'd be awfully uncomfortable.
Yes. So basically the machine's over on the table and then there's like a tube that's connected to you.
Correct.
Because
how do you know the layout of her house?
Because I was on the same machine, but it was a lot bigger when I was for 6 years. It was huge, called the Travanol machine, and it was about 6 feet tall and about this wide.
That was your husband. And tell us about this. So you hook yourself with the machine, and are you allowed to move in the middle of the night?
Or? I do. I roll over. I do all kind of interesting things while I'm attached to that machine.
Well, we'll get to that later. But does it ever pull out? Or?
It doesn't pull out, but if I roll in an awkward position, it will alarm, which will wake me up to tell me to either adjust my position or that there's a problem with the connection.
Wow,
so,
that's
so
really
so you have a catheter in your stomach, a PD catheter, mm-hmm. and then it's attached right to
correct.
This. You could hook it up, but you have to be very careful because you can get peritonitis, which I've had.
Do you have to use the bathroom in the middle of the night when you're on PD?
Oh, I was hoping you wouldn't address that issue, you know, on the radio. But yes, as a matter of fact, I do, because I make a moderate amount of urine. Uh-huh. And I am usually up 2 to 3 times overnight going to the restroom.
So do you have to drag this machine? Is it on wheels?
No, I don't drag the machine. I actually have a bedside commode that I use.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
But while I'm in the hotel, I take a bedpan.
Well, you know, one of the things that when I was on PD, my apartment was so small, you could walk anywhere, you could put the machine, and you could cook an omelet, you could go to the bathroom, you could do whatever. You can make the extension where it's long enough for... You can put the machine in a place where it's accessible. Because actually, when I was on dialysis, I put 2 extensions in, which you aren't supposed to do, but I did it. So
I don't use extensions at all.
See, I did because I wanted to watch videos with my friends while dialyzing. So that was more important.
Do you need any kind of assistance with this, or does your husband help you? Or
no, actually, the only time my husband helps me is if he's moving supplies. But for peritoneal dialysis, I can hook the machine up myself. I can open the supplies and attach myself to the extensions and all those things.
And does it make noise? Is it a noisy machine?
No. Any type of noise that it does make, you can adjust to because it's not very loud.
And what about your husband? Does he mind the machine being
there? Are you kidding me? He sleeps like a rock.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Tell us a little bit about how it works, because a lot of people listening may not understand, or a lot of people watching may not understand, too, that how does PD work?
Peritoneal dialysis works with an exchange of fluid. Basically, we have a solution called dialysate that we put on the machine, and the dialysate goes into the abdomen where it dwells for a period of time.
Into your peritoneal cavity.
Into your peritoneal cavity.
So what happens is you put, I use 2 liters. How many liters?
I use 2.5.
2.5.
So you pump this in your stomach. You let it sit there for a while.
Yeah, and it just sits there.
And how does it take out the toxin from the blood?
Well, your peritoneal cavity is made up of little tiny blood vessels. And so how as it was explained to me, it's kind of like a tea bag, like diffusion.
Right.
So you put, like if you have a cup of tea and you put a scoop of sugar in it, or a spoon of sugar, in my case a scoop of sugar, The sugar dissolves through
right,
diffusion.
Right.
So when they put the dialysate into your peritoneal cavity, it's made of these tiny little blood vessels. And the dialysate is very high in sugar, but that's all it has in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it pulls potassium and it pulls sodium into the dialysate.
Because it has sugar in it.
It's trying to equilibrate so everything's the same. So you actually get some sugar coming in, or dextrose they call it,
right,
into your blood system, because through diffusion it's all got to be the same.
So if you're a diabetic, you cannot be on PD?
No, they have a lot of things now that are helping.
They have sugar-free dialysate. Does it come in different flavors?
It's called a dialysate zero.
Oh, is it real? That's a good one. I like that.
And then you drain the fluid out, and when you drain the fluid in, it's clear. When you drain it out, it's yellow.
Where does it go? Oh,
and then you change the bed. And then
where does it go?
In a bag.
Oh, so you don't ever touch it. Or smell it?
And then you switch it and put a clean bag on and put the clean...
And how many bags do you do at one time?
I use two bags on my machine. They're 2 5-liter bags. And I do it once during the day with 2.5 liters a midday exchange. And so I'm doing it manually, not actually using the machine.
How do you do it manually?
Well, you just have to...
Wait a second. We got to take a commercial break. We're going to find out how to do it manually when we come back.
Okay. Think happy, positive thoughts. Happy, positive thoughts. Rainbows, puppies, and chocolate. Rainbows, puppies, and chocolate. Rainbows, puppies, and chocolate. Here we go. Oh! Rainstorms, pit bulls, and cheap candy.
Are you tired of tapeworms, infections, and embarrassing slips of your PD catheter?
Oh, hurricanes, coyotes, and old fish sticks.
I know she is. There's a revolutionary new product for dialysis patients developed by a dialysis patient. The PD security band will hold your catheter in place without using tape, helps prevent infections, and is custom made to fit your own body shape and size. It's long-lasting, affordable, and best part is, it's comfortable. For more details and get to your own PD security band, log on to www.patientpride.com.
Oh, tsunamis, rabies, and food poisoning!
Like I said, that's www.patientpride.com.
There's nothing wrong being in love with someone, yeah. Oh, baby, love that happened.
And we're back. And tell me about, I waited the whole time to find out this manual exchange without the machine. Is that because you're trying to save electricity or what?
No, actually, it's a little more less cumbersome to use the machine at that time. But what you do is you take the dialysate bag and you hang it on a pole and you actually use gravity as opposed to the force or the energy of the machine to go through
the clamps
through into your abdomen.
So why use the machine at all then if you could
Well, the machine clamps off and clamps on to let the fluid run in and then stop it because you're sleeping. You don't want to do
that. This is way too complicated. I would just go with hemo. You put the two needles in and you're
that's
done.
That's why people have choice. But you have to set up the machine. You still have to set up the machine on home hemo.
Oh, but that takes 5 minutes. Five minutes at home.
Well, about 5 minutes too.
Yeah,
it takes 20 minutes.
I used to take my PD camping and hiking and stuff. I used to just take it on the road with me and go traveling.
You took it on the road.
You can do
again.
An exchange in the car.
I'm doing PD on the road again.
Yes, there we go. Yeah, what I would do is when I was driving somewhere, I would just put the bag on the dashboard to heat it up.
Mm-hmm.
So, because you don't want to put a bag that's too cold in you because it'll make you cold.
Right.
Or it's a nice way to cool off in a hot day.
You know something? When I was on hemo, I would be freezing in the middle of the summertime. You know, because it goes into your veins,
mm-hmm.
and the dialysate goes into your veins.
You just
stuff.
Have to warm the bag on.
Well, no, the machine has a temperature setting. Well, the bag, yeah. You put it in the microwave or something?
Well, yeah. I had a little special warmer because if you put it in the microwave, you can make it too hot and
right.
then you can burn yourself.
That's true.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too complicated for me. I just press a couple of buttons and then let the machine
you
do
like
the work.
The easy bake
I just
oven.
Want to say no needles. That was my main motivation.
You know what? Everybody's afraid of the needles, but once you get used to it, you know, the pain.
I didn't want to get used to it.
The screaming and the pain and the wrenching. It's fine. Nothing like that. Now, I'm going to ask you a personal question.
Yes.
How does it affect your intimate life with your husband, having this machine and being hooked up at night, yet just fitting in between sessions?
Actually, sometimes we do it while I'm hooked up.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. I've never done that before. Although
well,
I'm not on PD.
You're not on PD.
But I can't imagine having sex on the dial. My alarms would ring, wouldn't they?
It depends on how you do it.
Yeah, but I mean, my blood pressure.
You know, there's over 160 positions for sexual relations.
160? My wife said there was only one. And it involves me by myself.
So are you on the transplant list? Tell us what's where you're at now.
I am currently on the transplant list, and I have a potential living donor.
Really?
And my sister-in-law, who is currently in Nigeria.
Wow.
Who I've met one time.
Really? And she's willing to do it?
She is willing to do it, and we've done the preliminary test through UCLA and found out that she is indeed a match. So she is on her way over here soon, within probably the next 30 days, to continue the testing.
Oh, continue the testing. It's not imminent, right?
No.
And let me ask you something, just personally, how do you like UCLA, going there and everything?
I actually like it.
Really?
Yes.
Uh-huh. It's a lot of people there, huh?
Yeah.
And it's a lot of
Are
waiting.
You seeing Danovich or Wilkinson?
You know what? I can't really remember.
Okay. Well, yeah. if you talk to...
They're the only two that speak English.
I have a card inside my wallet. I have to look to see what the name was.
Wilkinson has this beautiful accent.
It's
you
not
know?
Him,
he could just read the yellow pages to me. I'm like, that's wonderful.
Wilkinson and Danovich has a similar accent.
I play table tennis with Danovich.
Oh.
Yeah, he's a mean table tennis player. Let me tell you.
Yeah, so both of those guys have kind of British accents. Mm. Everybody else you can't understand.
This guy seemed really American to me.
Really?
Really?
Oh,
American.
My God. I've never had one American there.
Hmm.
But you can get some great Chinese takeout food there, though. Yeah, because I registered at UCLA, and the wait list was 7 years.
Wow.
For my blood type. What is your blood type?
I'm O positive.
I'm O positive.
Imagine that.
Oh, my God. Half the world is O positive. It's a universal donor.
Yeah, my husband's O positive. I'm O negative.
Oh.
Well, you are a bit negative. I mean, I didn't want to say anything.
So you're going to probably get a transplant this summer. Any questions you want for Stephen and I? Because we're like an expert with transplants now. Yeah.
I got tired. You know, I got tired of waiting at UCLA.
Uh-huh.
And I started registering in other places.
Oh, did you?
You can't register at Cedars,
right?
But you can register in
procurement agencies.
Yeah, other districts,
like San Diego's.
San Diego's a separate district.
Well, what's interesting is that I'm 5 years in. So if I had to wait 2 more years, I'd probably be okay. Tell you the truth,
right?
I'm not in a hurry like a lot of people to just get off dialysis. I'm comfortable on peritoneal dialysis. So if I really did have to wait that additional 2 years, I'd be okay.
Have you ever gotten peritonitis?
Once.
Yeah.
What's that like?
It hurts.
Oh,
no. Yes, it's an infection in the peritoneal cavity, and I'm not exactly sure what I did to get it, but I haven't gotten it again in 5 years.
Yeah.
Not very fun.
Yeah.
But see, I was only 18 months in.
Oh.
And the thought of having to wait 5 to 7 years is what I was told. So I registered in Las Vegas.
Wow.
And I registered in Portland, Oregon, and I didn't get a kidney from either one of those places. A stranger came.
Forward
and just donated a kidney to me. I still don't know his name.
Yeah.
And got the kidney there. But that's amazing. I mean, and just the recovery is so much faster these days.
Yeah.
You know, my donor was out 2 days and I was out of the hospital in 4 days.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, having a transplant, though, it's frightening. I mean, you know, it's...
It's not frightening.
It's like a
nervous excitement.
Well, my first two transplants didn't work. So my third one was like, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this?
And you should have bought the better model. It's like buying a Chevy when you should have bought a Cadillac.
I'm getting ready to celebrate 18 years with this transplant.
That's
so
amazing.
Which is, you beat the odds
because the average transplant life of a cadaver donor is about 11 years.
I know. And my kidney was out of the body for like 36 hours, flown in from Denver.
I think they found it on the street one day. This drunk was lying on the street and somebody just cut that hell out of him.
But, you know, to think that it's going to be 18 years and it's pretty amazing. You know, actually, my donor was from Denver, Colorado. He was a male who was in an accident. And my
screensaver,
I think it was, I'm not sure what kind of accident, but my screensaver on my computer is of Colorado. So every morning sign on, there's pictures of Colorado.
I thought you were going to say the screensaver was the picture of his kidney.
No, it's pictures of Colorado. So I can always remember how, you know, wonderful that he chose to give the gift of life to me.
Well, one of the things that I find interesting about my kidney and getting it from my sister-in-law is that I asked a lot of my American relatives and friends to donate, and they just seem very possessive of their body parts, for lack of better explanation. And this lady who has met me once, she said, "We're family," and that's the way we view it in Nigeria. And because we're family, I'm obligated to donate to you if I match.
It was that and the fee of $50,000 that she wanted.
No. She wants nothing.
That's great. Well, I mean, it's just terrific.
Well, one question I had is, how did your husband propose?
There's a great big romantic story associated with it, but we had talked about it before I actually traveled to Nigeria. And so 6 months into us chatting online, I traveled to Nigeria, and about 3 or 4 days maybe after we actually laid eyes on each other face to face, we're in the hotel room kind of watching TV. And he takes out this cute box. It's the cutest box you've ever want to see in your life.
Don't
so I still
tell
have
me.
It.
You've met each other for 3 days and he proposed?
Seriously.
Holy, how long have you been married?
I've been married 2.5 years.
2.5 years.
Well, how did you propose to Lorraine?
You know, it's really weird.
What, you knew her one day?
What? No. I had only known her 3 months, but we were dating and we had this huge argument. You know, and I forgot what we were arguing about, but I screamed. She goes, "I'm not going to date you anymore." I said, "Okay, then marry me." Like that. And she goes, "Okay." And we just screamed at each other.
Well, that's a lot more romantic than mine.
Yeah, it wasn't so romantic, though. You don't know my wife. But I've been married 31 years.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, but
great.
It's four different wives. It just adds up to 31 years.
Okay, moving on.
Okay, so what? Go on.
So basically that's how, and then
so
how
yeah,
much
he took
further?
Out the box. I don't even think he asked me to marry him. I think he just took the box out.
Yeah, there was no ring in the box either. That was really
no,
cheap.
No, there was a ring in the box. I don't play that.
Now, one thing that I noticed about your husband is that he's so attentive of you. I mean, we're at this conference and he comes over and makes sure he carries up all your supplies and just is so thoughtful. Did you ever think you would just marry such a thoughtful man?
No, he is literally my prince. You know, I think that when you pray to God, you need to be specific. But there were some things I left out that God knew I needed. And so he's very attentive. He's very understanding. And he's really that perfect fit. And I just never thought I would have found that, especially after dialysis, because there were so many body image issues involved. And there was the fact that there were two different cultures and the fact that he would have to leave his country and come over. Although that really wasn't an issue.
He probably wanted to be in America, right?
Well, actually, no. I had met other Nigerians online or even Ghanaians.
Did you go to like Nigerian.com?
You would think I did, didn't you?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, at the time I met my husband, because I had gone, I was looking for single, I think I typed in something like single black Christians or something like that. And I got this one website. It was called afrointroductions.com, actually. And I just kind of put my picture on and started meeting people. And so I started meeting a lot of African-American men across the country. And matter of fact, men from all races. But then all of a sudden, all these Africans had started to contact me. And when they would contact me in the first conversation, it would be like, "Well, can I have a letter of invitation for a visa?"
And I was going to say that.
I'm not the one you can use to come here. But with my husband, I had made up my mind that I wasn't talking anymore Africans. I had become prejudiced against Africans. How do you like that?
Really?
Yeah, I really did, because I just didn't want to be that girl who invited somebody over and they ran away and all these other issues transpired. But I kept staring at his picture when he sent me the email, and I said, "Oh, he looks so sweet. He looks so happy. He seems so different." And it took me about 3 days before I actually responded to my husband, and the rest is history.
Wow, but I mean, were your parents going, "What are you doing?"
Oh, my gosh.
3 days?
Not my parents, my family, my friends, my church members. They're like, "She has truly lost her mind."
Crazy.
Because Nigeria does not allow you to, well, Baxter does not ship supplies to Nigeria. So I had to carry all my supplies to Nigeria. So imagine you taking your
next stage,
all your supplies to Nigeria.
Yeah.
For 10 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, that's so exciting. Well, I'm so happy for you. And I know
Thank you.
It's so difficult, because you think once you have an illness, that nobody will really love you or accept you for, you know, all of your little imperfections. Mm-hmm. But adversity does introduce you to yourself and your husband.
And he must be so excited about the possibility of a transplant.
He is. He's very excited.
You know, that is incredible, because it's going to change your life.
Yeah.
I mean, because you've been on dialysis how long now?
Five years.
Mm-hmm. And it's almost that you've forgotten what it was like not not to be on dialysis, right?
I don't know about that.
No, you did. You know what I said to you, which is really... I'll tell you what was really interesting. I said to my wife just the other day, I said, you know, when I was on dialysis, I was thinking, what am I going to do to fill up this time at night? It's 4 hours every night. I still don't have enough time in the day. It's amazing.
Well, one final question. Is your diet different, or is it more liberal that you're on PD or than if you would have been on hemo? That's one of the advantages I had, is my diet was just a little bit more liberal. I still had to watch the phosphorus, but I could have a little bit more potassium, drink a little bit more fluid. So that's why I chose PD over hemo, because of the
and because
diet.
You're very liberal, too. Yeah.
No, I don't have any dietary restrictions, nor have I ever. I do need to watch the phosphorus on occasion and make sure I eat enough potassium, which is really interesting.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Yes, you know, so my potassium was my bane.
Oh, my gosh.
See, I had to, I didn't go out and eat too much potassium, but I didn't have to really watch it.
That's correct.
You know, and that's what was a benefit of peritoneal for me.
Oh, I also wanted to make one more comment with my husband. You know, if I do get the kidney from his sister, it'll be like he's married to his sister.
Oh, that's kind of nasty. That's kind of like growing up in the South. I've never interviewed a PD patient, and I've never interviewed somebody who got married in 3 days after knowing the person.
Well, she's pretty fascinating how she does so much to help her community. And, you know, living on PD for 5 years and only having peritonitis once is amazing.
Is that unusual?
Well, I think, you know, the equipment's getting better and better. But you have to be very careful with every exchange, because if you have to wear a mask when you connect and stuff like that. And you have to have a sterile environment. You can't be outdoors or, you know, have a window open. And so you can get peritonitis, and it's pretty painful. So the fact that she hasn't had peritonitis only once in 5 years is pretty remarkable.
So you have to wear a mask when you're hooking it up, but once you're on it,
yeah,
you
it takes
can take
like a
mask.
Minute. It takes like a minute to do the hookup.
Yeah, because when I had a catheter at the beginning of dialysis, like everybody does, the technician had to wear a mask.
Catheters are more at risk for infection, but the only thing that's different about a PD catheter, it doesn't go into the bloodstream. It goes into your peritoneal cavity.
Right, right.
And so a little bug gets in there and it hurts because, and then they just flush, they keep putting antibiotics in your peritoneal cavity to get rid of it.
The sound of a bug getting into your stomach.
Well, you can get a bug into your anything.
But you know, the word bug, though, because it's really not
a
bug.
It is a bug.
You're talking about a germ.
Yeah, a germ.
Not like an
earwig
or anything like that. What?
A germ is a bug.
A germ is a bug?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can't squash it.
We can control our own destiny.
We can take charge of our health and ask questions about our medical options.
We can form partnerships with our healthcare team.
We can take steps towards self-improvement.
We can be sensitive to the impact of our disease on our family.
We can sing, dance, laugh, and enjoy our lives.
We can appreciate today and look forward to tomorrow.
We can help and support our fellow patients.
We can pursue our hopes and dreams.
We can make a difference.
Renal Support Network would like to thank everyone who has made this show possible.
Kidney Talk's founding sponsor is Amgen.
Generous support is provided by Roche Pharmaceuticals and Astellas.
Friends of Kidney Talk are Abbott Laboratories, American Regent, and Fresenius Medical Care North America.
Thank you for helping us stream health, happiness, and hope to the kidney community.
Visit rsnhope.org for more information.
The opinions, recommendations, statements, and advice contained on Kidney Talk are for information only. You should not use the information on the show to diagnose or treat a health problem or disease without first consulting with a qualified health care provider. Please consult with your health care provider about any questions or concerns you may have regarding your condition or dietary regimen.